I want to bid you welcome after the two-week lockdown period that we've had. Your return to the house of God, those that have been able to make it, and we bid you welcome in the Saviour's name. We are really glad to see you back to public worship today. And just this announcement, in light of new government regulations, worshippers are required to wear face coverings at all times while in the church building. This is a small sacrifice to make in order to maintain public worship. Thank you for your cooperation. There will be no public singing of the congregation today. We will listen to past hymn singing while the words are displayed, and the church building will be fogged between all services today. So we're asking you to pray for the blessing of God. The opening praise is 478. You'll be able to follow this on the screen. Saviour, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, my Lord, from thee. All that I am and have, thy gifts so free, in joy and grief through life, O Lord, for thee. And when thy face I see, my ransomed soul shall be through all eternity something for thee. Our psalm for today is the Psalm 44. Let's read the Word of God together. It helps us in our preparation before the Lord to read God's Word as we come to the place of prayer. It's a great testimony, this opening verse. Let's follow it and the verses that follow. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favour unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will be pushed down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever, Selah. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies, Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbours, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. But the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Verse 23. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? But our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. We end the reading there, knowing that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Sometimes, just like the psalmist, there is that thought and feeling that the Lord is sleeping. Well, the Lord never slumbers nor sleeps, but from our perspective, it would seem that way. And so there is this cry from the heart of the psalmist, awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. And we trust that the Lord will come and will do that even for us today and for our nation, that he will step in, that he will not be at a distance and not cast us off. We do express our deepest sympathy to the Buchanan family on the death of Mrs. Lee Buchanan. You maybe have heard, if you have the announcements that are sent out by WhatsApp, that Mrs. Buchanan passed away. And the family funeral service is today here at the church at 2:15. The time was not announced in the paper. It's just so that everybody that sees it would maybe turn up. That can't happen in these days. But to any in the church, any friend or those who would like to attend, you can come this afternoon. You'll not be turned away at the service. That's 2:15 today. But we do express our sympathy, and we pray for the family in the midst of their trouble. Let's pray together. Our Father, you have told us in your word to be still and know that I am God. And how often we need to pause just there as we draw near in the attitude of prayer, as we come to the presence of God in the midst of the varied circumstances of life, just to be still, just to quieten ourselves before the Lord and to recognize he's God, sovereign, supreme, sitting upon the throne of eternal glory, in control of all our circumstances, ordering our steps according to his own divine will and purpose. We know that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. There are times, as we think of that verse in the Psalms, that we stumble, we fall. But when we do, the Lord is there to pick us up again and to help us to continue with him. Save us, Lord, from turning into bypath meadows. Save us, Lord, from standing still in our Christian experience. And God forbid that we would even go back. But may we press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Help us to set our gaze upon him. As we still ourselves in the presence of God this day, and we approach thee on the grounds of redemption, and we plead the value of the blood of the Savior, we want our God to meet with us here, just where we are. We thank thee that our church is opened again for worship, for the preaching of your word. We thank thee for those who have made it to the house of God. And we do pray that you will, in these days, hedge us about, keep us true to thee, help us to walk with God, to be a living testimony to our neighbours, and even to those that are nearest to us within the family and within the friendship circle. Help us to lift the name of Christ high in what we do and say. Lord, we want to be that help to glory. We want to be an influence for good, an example. Thy word tells us, be thou an example. And we pray that we'll be that, so that others, when looking at us, they will see the gospel. They will see the change that the Lord brings to one who is converted and saved by the grace of God. We pray that you will take from us those things of a hindering nature. Remove from us, Lord, our sins, that we might walk as perfectly in this life as it is possible for saved sinners to do, until that day when we are made perfect and we go home to be with the Lord. Remember those that mourn. Thank thee for our sister, Mrs. Cairns, present with us today. Pray that you'll continue to bless her, uphold her by your grace. We pray for the Buchanan family, that thou wilt be with them in this recent bereavement. And as we think of the funeral service this afternoon, Lord, be with them then, and speak to their hearts and speak to us all. Lord, surely in such times we are reminded what is the inevitable, what will come to us all. We must all needs die. And we are like water spilt on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. May we be taught of the Lord in these days, so that we might live with eternity's values in view, that we might walk in the light of that day when we shall be called from this scene into eternity. We do remember the unconverted. Lord, speak at this time. Teach them to number their days and apply their hearts to wisdom. Help the Lord to know how frail they really are, and to know that time is short and preparation for eternity needs to be made. Lord, this day we pray that your word will go forth with power, that sinners will be spoken to and awakened. They are dead in trespasses and in sins. They have no life. They have no real thought of God. It's not until the Lord in his grace comes and begins to awaken that a sinner can really think seriously about his soul and about eternity and the things of God. Lord, we pray that by the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit, your word will be applied with power to their minds and hearts, and bring about the change that is necessary. Lord, you are the one that quickens, that makes men alive unto their need of Jesus Christ, to flee from the wrath to come and get to the only Savior. We pray for that work to be accomplished in the hearts of many who attend the services today, who listen in on the internet. Bless those that are at home and being part of this service today. We just bring ourselves to the Lord for this time. Oh, may our steps be quickened in the things of God, and may we be spoken to this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We take this moment to welcome you here in the congregation, and then those that are tuning in on Sermon Audio and Facebook. Our gospel meeting is at 7 o'clock tonight. The church is opened for those who are able to come. And I want to speak on the amazing yet startling revelation of the New Testament. Some things that we learn in the New Testament that are not in the Old. And there's a very powerful word, I believe, for us, for the professor of religion, and for the unconverted, and for God's people too. So don't miss being part of the meeting tonight. Thursday night is the midweek at 8 o'clock as we study the scriptures and pray together. Then could I mention that Sunday school will be broadcast, a special Christmas Sunday school next Lord's Day, going out at 10:30 in the morning, and this will be by Facebook. The Sunday school is not starting back officially until the new year. and we'll be able to make an announcement near the time about that. But there will be this special one online, and we trust that all of our Sunday school children and more besides will be able to listen in. Bible class will continue by Zoom at 10:45. The worship service at 12 noon. Carol service at 7. Usually this month we have special meetings every night, every Sunday night through the month. But we're having just the one, and the congregation will be singing that night, next Sunday night, and singing with masks and taking part as well. So we look forward to this special time just before Christmas. We thank you for your tithes and offerings, giving to the building fund, the ministry of Let the Bible Speak, the missionary covenant support, and our school. Now, the Reverend Philip Gardner serves the Lord in Australia, and because of deputation problems, missionaries going around our churches during lockdown, this didn't happen for him, but prayer cards are available and they should be on the table as you leave. The Missionary Council prayer calendars are also available for 2021, and you can take a copy. There's plenty of copies there as you leave. The Let the Bible Speak quarterly is also available. You can take your copy. And we want to acknowledge some gifts that have come in, missionary gifts for the orphans in India of £100, £200, a gift for Romania of £100, for Deborah House of £40, and the poor and needy in Pakistan of £70, and then there was a gift for Nepal of $50. We also received a gift for Let the Bible Speak of £500, and for the broadcasting equipment for £1,000, and a missionary gift of £3,550 designated for various missionary works. We acknowledge these before the Lord, and we thank those who have contributed in such a way. Just to mention again, the book is available that was printed. This is the first time you've been back at church. So, as you know, 1,500 copies were printed. 1,000 of those went round our churches, or at least 900 did, and there's a spare 100 down there with John Dummigan. And I got 500. There's just about 100 of those left. So they've gone very, very quickly. Anyone who wants a copy, please see me. They're in the church office. The £10 that you pay for them goes, all of it goes to the Indian Orphan Project to feed these 70 children. We do ask you to pray for the work of God here in all its aspects. We pray for those that are suffering with COVID-19 in any other way. We're still looking to the Lord for divine intervention, and we remember our doctors and nurses and health service at this time. We thank God for them and for all that they do in attending to the sick, and especially in these days of coronavirus. Just continue to pray for all who need the touch of the Lord in their lives. These names are before us, and we do bring them with sincerity to the Lord in prayer. Now we will listen to the hymn 482. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Thank you.
to thank Paul and the media team for bringing this all together so that we could listen to the words and the music and watch on screen there above you. This is a hymn consecrating our lives to the Lord, and we want to do that just as we come to the Word of God now. So we'll bow together in prayer. This certainly is a verse that you can pray over now. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Does the Lord have absolute sway over your being? When you sing a hymn like this, asking the Lord to fill you with His Spirit, do you really mean it? Do you really mean the outcome of that, till all shall see Christ? And if you do, then we ask the question, does everyone see Christ in you, in your work, in your home, in your community? Heavenly Father, thou art the potter, and we are the clay. And we want to be what God wants us to be. We don't want to go our own way, follow our own inclinations, fulfill our own ambitions. No, Lord, we want the Lord to have absolute sway over us, that we might every day be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, till everyone around us sees Christ living in us. We thank thee that we, as the true believing church, are crucified with Christ. And yet we live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, the apostle was able to testify. Let that be so for us all. As we come to your word, prepare us and speak to us. Help us to serve the Lord. Help us to shoot up that prayer of heart now. Lord, speak to me right here in this building or wherever the person might be listening to the message. Speak to me now. Remove the barriers, remove the obstacles that would stop me from hearing God's voice. Let there be an open avenue to my heart. And Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit to bring the message in Jesus' name. Amen. We come back to the message we began last Lord's Day. It's message 9 in our study in the second gospel, Mark's gospel. And we are going to read the same few verses, 16 to 20. Verses 16 to 20 of Mark chapter 1. We're thinking about the call of God to service. And here we have the account of the Lord Jesus calling men to serve him. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Now, we've been dealing with the call of God and the Lord in his sovereign purposes. As we come to the New Testament, he called 12 men to be his disciples, his close companions throughout his short earthly ministry, men who came from different backgrounds. And these few verses are telling us about Andrew and Peter, James and John, and how the Lord called them to be his followers. It was the special call. It was that call that was very personal. The same kind of call that still comes to many Christians today, as the Lord would seek to prepare us for a special work. That work might be in the local church, it might be to the mission field, wherever it is, but it's a special call to leave our all and follow him. And we did note that they were ordinary men that the Lord called. We thought about the sovereignty of the call. Jesus said in verse 17, the words of this special and blessed call came from the lips of the eternal Son of God, the Redeemer of men, the friend of sinners, the beloved of his dear people, Christ, the chosen anointed Messiah who came from the heights of glory to the manger of Bethlehem in the incarnation to dwell in mortal flesh for a season, the second person of the glorious Trinity who coexisted in co-equal deity with his Father and the Holy Spirit from all eternity. It is he who is standing on the seashore and he's calling, he's speaking to these fishermen, come after me. The sovereign call of God. We notice also the suddenness of the call, because we read in verse 16, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, here's something that happened unexpectedly. Suddenly, these men were going about their daily business. Two of them were casting their nets. The other two were mending their nets. And the Lord just appears on the shore and he calls them to the work of the gospel. And very often that happens today. Suddenly, unexpectedly, that might happen right now in this service. You come to the meeting without any thought of God calling you, but right now the Lord could be laying his hand upon you in a very personal way. And he's speaking to your heart today, unexpectedly, suddenly, and he wants you to come and follow him. We noticed also last week the situation of the call. They were at work. You've got to notice this, what they were doing when Jesus called them. They were engaged in their daily employment. They were working hard. They were proving themselves in the ordinary things of life. And we've said to you and suggested to you that until you can prove yourself in the ordinary things of life, you'll never prove yourself in the eternal and the spiritual things of life. And these men were working and working hard when the Lord called them. And then the last little point that we made last Lord's Day was the status of their call. They were ordinary men, just fishermen. You might say common men, with no theological credentials or status in this world. They had not trained in the theological seminaries of the Jews, nor did they emanate from the wealthy aristocracy of society, nor from the high ranks of the political and business world. They were just fishermen. Jesus chose these disciples not because of who they were, but what Jesus could do through them. And we made the point that very often he does call, as the scriptures tell us, the foolish things, the weak things, the despised things of this world. And he does it for his own great name's sake. Now we want to come in the fifth place to the selectiveness of the call. And I want you to notice in verse 17 that Jesus said unto them. And in verse 20, when he called the other pair, he called them. There was no doubt whatsoever who the Lord was calling on this occasion. He said unto them, and he called them. There were others that were there. We certainly know from the second part of the story that there was a father, Zebedee, on the boat. There were servants on the boat. But whenever this call was going out, it was a very specific, it was a select call to these individuals. There were many fishermen in Galilee. Josephus, who was the greatest historian of the Jews, tells us that in his day there were 330 fishing boats that sailed the waters of Blue Galilee. And out of all the fishermen that the Lord Jesus Christ could have chosen, his foreordained plan set itself upon four men only. Jesus spoke to them personally. He called them personally. The call of God to Christian service is as personal as that. God puts his hand of deity upon certain individuals and he calls them by name. He saw Simon and Andrew and he said to them, come, come after me. And he saw James and John, his brother, and he called them. Jesus, from the throne room of heaven's splendor, he looks down into this old world today and he sees you and you and you, certain individuals that are here, and he calls you. Out of all that are gathered here, all that are listening in, he's putting his hand perhaps upon some individual or some individuals in this meeting, and he's calling you in a very personal way. Can you hear that call? Can you detect that call in your heart? The selectiveness of the call. And then I want you to notice the simplicity of the call. And it's really in the word come. That's what he said to these men. Well, you remember when he spoke these words for the first time. To your weary, heavily laden soul, come, he said to you. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you remember that call, dear child of God? When the Lord saved you by grace, when he called you in grace, and he made you his child, he said to you then, come. And now he's speaking the same word. He's saying, come. The first time it was to salvation, when he redeemed you with the blood of Christ. But this call, this particular call here is to service, as he's calling you to walk with him in a life that's serving the Lord. Today, God is calling you to come, to follow him, to serve him. I trust and pray that you will hear and discern that call. We need more workers. No doubt about that. You remember the Lord in his day lamented over the fewness of the laborers. The laborers are few. Were the words of Christ. Things haven't changed in this century. All these many years later, the Lord still looks down from heaven and there's a great deficit in the work of God. The laborers are still few. And that is so locally, it is so when you think of the great work of God through the nations of the world. We think of all the vacant pulpits that we have here in Northern Ireland. And we're praying very definitely for those vacant pulpits to be filled. We've been asking the Lord for a number of years now to raise up young men to be ministers of the gospel. And he's been answering that prayer. And every year, thankfully, to our Bible college, young men have gone for training. But we need more ministers in the province and further afield. And then when we lift our eyes that little bit further and we think of the mission field and the various nations of the world that have opened up to us and maybe other nations that will open up, we need men and women to serve the Lord in these various parts of the world. We think of the various works, even in the local church. And what's the Lord saying? He's saying, come. He's saying, come to you. The simplicity of the call. And then I want you to notice in verse 17, just at the end of the verse, the substance of the call, as the Lord says, come after me. I will make you to become fishers of men. Here is the great work of the ministry. Here is the great work of the mission field. Indeed, it is the great work of the Sunday school teacher, of the youth worker, of the godly father and mother in the home. Our chief object in our labors for Christ is to bring sinners unto him. He wants us to be fishers of men. These fishermen would continue in a similar employment, but in a much higher and spiritual sense. Up to now, it was a physical employment, going out to the sea, casting their nets, drawing in their nets for a draught of fish. But now the Lord is asking them to go into the world and cast out the gospel net that they might draw men and women to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A very similar employment indeed. You know, when Jesus called them to be fishers of men, he was calling them to do the work that he was doing. He was the greatest fisher of men who ever dwelt upon this earth. He wanted others to do the work that he did. First of all, these four men, and then the 12 all together. And then there were hundreds that were called. And down through the centuries, thousands upon thousands of individuals he has called to this work. And to this work you and I are called. In fact, there is a sense in a general way that every one of us who are saved are to be involved in this work. We are to be fishers of men. Might not necessarily be in the special call that the Lord makes you a minister or a missionary or brings you into some other form of Christian service in a full-time capacity. But you are, as a Christian, to reach out to others with the gospel in your family, those that you know, those that you come into contact with. You are to seek to win them to Christ, bring them to the Lord. That is our responsibility. Now, it's not an easy task. You ask a fisherman if it's easy. Some of you might be interested in fishing. I suspect that very few of you would go out to sea to do the fishing. You might throw a rod into the river, and there's a great skill in that, and you need a lot of patience and so forth. But the kind of fishing that we're talking about here is those men who go out to sea and they're faced with all the kinds of problems and difficulties that are incurred when you do this particular employment. I lived in Port of Ogie for 7 years, so I know a little bit about what happens. Most of the congregation was involved in the fishing industry in some way, at least connected. There were men who went to sea and they did the fishing. There were others who received the produce and they worked in the factories and they prepared the fish for sale. There were others who went out to the markets and out to homes and they sold the fish. And then, of course, within the congregation, you were connected some way in the families to a relative who was involved in the business. It was the center of life and activity in the village, as it still is to this very day. If the fishing industry did well, the village did well. If things went against them and it was poor and their results were then, it reflected in the village. So it was the very center of village life, and most were involved in some way. I often went down to the harbor. There was a certain time in the evening, those that went out daily. There were other fishermen, and they went out week by week, but some went out every day, very early in the morning, maybe even sometimes midnight, the night before, but there was a certain time when they would come in, because an auction would take place. And we used to go down to the harbor when that happened, and we used to stay at times to listen to the auction, fish being sold off. You can't do that now, it's all barricaded off. And I even went to sea a few times, one particular time, 14 hours. You know, you have to get your sea legs. You know what your sea legs is? I think there's even a medication called sea legs, because if you don't take it, you might be sick. It's a beautiful day. The sun was shining. The sea was still. And off we went. But as the day proceeded, and the boat was just rocking back and forwards as they were trawling and catching the fish, and there was the smell of the nets and the boat generally, I just didn't make it through the whole day without being sick. But still, I ate my sandwiches and I had my tea and I was able to share it later with the fish as well. That's just the way it is. But it's a difficult life. I saw it firsthand. So I know the long hours that they put in. I know the strenuous labors. I know the dangers too. No fishermen that were injured. I know those that lost their lives. Freak wave on one occasion washed three of the men overboard. Two of them died. And that's something that the village has had to live with down through the years. I know the disappointments. Sometimes they went out just like the fishermen that we read in the Bible, and they toiled all night In the case of the Portavogie men, they toiled all day and they caught nothing, or they caught little. And if you go down to the harbour and watch them coming in, and you would look into their vessel, there was very, very few fish to see, just maybe a few lying in the crates. And there was great disappointment at times. It was expensive for them to go and catch nothing. I know that the challenges and the skills and the rewards. And so, my friends, the work of the gospel is this kind of fishing work. And undoubtedly, there are long hours, there are strenuous labors, there are dangers, there are disappointments. Those times there'll be labor and catch nothing. I know that there are challenges, and I know there are skills involved, and I know there are great rewards too. Jesus says, I will make you to become fishers of men. And that phrase implies a gradual process of training. You don't become a fisherman overnight. He makes you to become. There's a process involved. It takes long hours of training and study and practice and patience and cooperation and stickability. And that's all in there in God's work too, in this fishing work, the substance of the call. And then I want you to notice the swiftness of the answer to the call. And it's there really in the word straightway. It's used both times by the Lord giving the word here. Verse 18, straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Verse 20, straightway he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants. There's no other way. Just let me say this. There's no other way to respond to the call of God. Whenever God calls you to do something, this is the way you want to react. You want to do it straightway. You want to do it immediately. It is to be feared that many delay their response when God calls them. And they postpone it. They put it off to some other time. God works in the heart. He speaks to them. But they say, not tonight, some other time. And they do that for whatever reason. Maybe the work that they were being called to was too hard, or they feel it's going to be too hard. Or maybe it's going to be an onerous task. Maybe it involves giving up something precious, and you don't want to forsake that. And we'll come to that in a minute or two. It's not completely that you don't love the Lord. It may be for that reason. Maybe there are those who hear the call of God and they don't respond, or they put it off because they don't love the Lord the way they should. Not always for that reason, I have to say, but it could be. You know how much we love our wives, for example. You know how much we're willing to serve them, to please them, to do things for them. I'm sure I speak on behalf of every husband that's here. But sometimes our response is not very prompt. We put it off. There's some little task that has been left undone, some job unfinished, maybe not even started yet. And your dear spouse has reminded you often enough about it. Is that you, husband? Is that you today? I'm not saying that she's nagged at you or she's harped on at you. Wouldn't use that language, but she's reminded you from time to time, and it's still not done. And it's not because you don't love her. You're just putting it off. There's someone here, and the Lord has called you, and you're putting it off. It's not because you don't love him. Surely when it comes to God's work, the call of Christ, the eternal and the spiritual, we ought to be more responsive and more willing to obey swiftly. Let the word straightway be written more often of us. Am I speaking to someone and you've been holding back with God? And you've been failing to answer his call, a call that has come with assurance and a definiteness, but you've not obeyed, you've not answered that call as yet, you've not responded. Hear the call afresh in this meeting today and reply straightway. The swiftness of the answer to the call. And then there's one final little thought that I want to leave with you, and that's the sacrifice of the call. And you notice here, they forsook their nets in the first instance, and in the second instance, they left their father. Look at verse 18. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And then verse 20. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and they went after him. You see, there is a forsaking when you come to labor for Christ. In this case, we can see two things that were forsaken. We can see a business, and we can see a father and probably other members of the family. Sometimes the call of God involves this. When God calls you to be a minister, to be a missionary, to be a full-time worker, you give up your employment, you give up your job, you leave your business behind you, that you might follow the Lord in what He's calling you to. At other times, especially with missionary work, it will necessitate leaving family members to go to serve the Lord in another country, and that's a great sacrifice to make. But no sacrifice is too great to make for the Lord. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's an ambition. Sometimes it's the comforts of life that we're asked to leave behind. You know, the things of the world, the things of this life in which we live, the sacrifice of the call. Remember the words of C.T. Studd when he said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." And that's the way that all of us should feel when God calls us. And may we be prepared to leave everything to follow Christ. I'm going to finish with a hymn, and we're finishing a little bit earlier today because we have a funeral service coming up quite soon. But I want to finish with the words of a hymn. Some of you may have heard it before. O God, the world is lost in sin, and so few that seem to care. Many of whom profess thy name, no burden will help to bear. We need a passion, Lord, for souls, to bring the lost back to thee. Our hearts must first be stirred till all have heard at least once of Calvary. Then the chorus is, let me burn out for thee, dear Lord, burn and wear out for thee. Don't let me rust or my life be a failure, my God, to thee. Use me and all that I have, dear Lord, and get me so close to thee that I feel the throb of the great heart of God until I burn out for thee. And then it continues, how cold has been our giving, Lord, how selfish our love has been, keeping from those who never heard the gospel that saves from sin. How often we have turned aside, neglecting to do our part, forgetting thy tears and agony, forgetting thy bleeding heart. Meet us and break us up, dear Lord, until driven to our knees, bear to our gaze thy cross and love of blood-baptized Calvary. Speak till we hear again thy call and hold nothing back from thee. O burn on our hearts the hopeless wheel of souls damned eternally. O God, with shame I humbly bow, in tears and with contrite heart. Forgive me for the broken vows and failure to do my part. I heed thy call and say farewell to all that would hinder me. By grace and thy love to lost ones tell, and my life burn out for thee. The call of God to Christian service is very real. God's calling you today. I will make you to become fishers of men. Oh, leave thy all and follow Christ. Let us pray. Certainly, Lord, we don't want to rust out. We would rather burn out for thee. want to identify ourselves with the hymn that we've quoted. We want to give ourselves afresh to the Lord this day. Lord, perhaps you're calling some young man here, some older man, for that matter, some young woman. Lord, you called them before. They hesitated. They neglected. They put it off. Maybe they didn't love thee. Maybe the loves of their life were upon other things. Some person, some business, some ambition, some pastime, some comfort. But whatever the case, Lord, they left it. They did nothing about it. Lord, you've spoken afresh. You've come in your word today as powerfully and as personally as you did to Peter and Andrew, James and John. And in some heart here, the word has been heard. Come. Come after me. And I will make you to become fishers of men. Lord, may there be that response, that willingness to obey the Lord right now. We pray for ministers. We pray for missionaries. We pray for evangelists. On the local level, we pray for church workers here. Raise them up, Lord, and send them forth to work for the Savior. What a privilege it is to serve Christ as we live for Him on this earth, and one day we'll be with Him forever in glory. Help us all to serve the Lord in whatever way we can. Dismiss us now in your fear, with your love upon us. Keep us through the day. Remember the funeral service that will take place shortly in this house. Comfort the hearts of those that grieve. Bless the gospel meeting tonight. Visit us with the power of the gospel and save sinners for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming to the house of God today as we have sought to worship the Lord together and to assemble here in a safe manner. And we do pray that God's word will come with power, will not leave you, will abide with you as you leave church. Thank you very much in Jesus' name. Amen. Our sisters will play, and you'll be asked to leave row by row, as usual.